You're listening to the West End Frame Show. Hello and welcome to the West End Frame Show. I'm your host and West End Frame editor, Andrew Tomlins, and today I'm on my own for a mini episode of the podcast. It was just one of those things where logistics didn't allow for a normal episode today. I'm kind of running around pre-recording three episodes of In the Frame. Then I'm going to see Pippin, and there just wasn't any time left in the day to do the West End Frame Show properly. So I'm kind of doing it on my own whilst I wait for my next In the Frame guest to arrive. The next month is actually going to be a little bit different. There might be some Broadway coverage coming your way, and there might be maybe one week where I have to take a holiday or do it on my own or something because of other things happening. But I promise that this season is going through to the end of July, and there is lots more staginess coming your way. So, coming up, I will be discussing Stranger Things, The First Shadow, Two Strangers Carry a Cake Across New York, and a little show called Wicked. But first, let's talk about some of this week's theatre news. And this week, actor Melanie LaBarry, who is currently playing Hermes in the West End production of Hadestown, spoke out about some things she has experienced at stage door, using social media to ask theatregoers not to run after her and grab her from behind. Melanie explained that it's scary and makes anxiety and adrenaline run through her body, which then takes a long time to leave. She was grabbed again the night after and put out another post saying that when she was leaving stage door, she explained that she wouldn't take any pictures as it was pouring with rain, but someone still grabbed her and asked for a picture. So, with all that being said, Melanie now said that she won't be doing stage door again for a while. Lots of performers have been sharing their stage door experience, one of them being Carl Mann, who plays Fiero on tour in Wicked. He wrote on X saying that, "I enjoy signing and taking photos at stage door, if it's organised and orderly. And Juliet used to be a free-for-all and chaotic at times." It's kind of mad at the Shaftesbury stage door. He said, "I think stage doors in London need to copy Broadway, where there are barriers so performers can walk down the line and sign and move on if they wish," which is a really good point because Broadway is so much more regimented and organised, and I feel like there's often security present and it feels like it's a much safer operation from what I've kind of seen of New York stage doors over the years. I mean, this is crazy to me. It's terrible that this is happening to people because quite a lot of performers have shared lots of similar experiences and scary circumstances of being followed home. I know a performer once spoke about outside the Garrick Theatre, it's really scary because if someone steps back to take a photo, they're literally walking into the road and people are putting themselves and their well-being at risk, and also our performers, you know, are at risk of almost being stalked in extreme situations and being put in really uncomfortable situations when they have just finished doing a really demanding and really challenging show. And obviously, everyone knows this, the majority of people know this, that buying a ticket to a show is literally just buying you admittance to watch the show. It's not guaranteeing you the chance to meet, talk to, kiss, hug the cast that you're seeing afterwards. It's obviously a wonderful bonus and a really lovely thing that so many performers do come out afterwards at stage door and are usually happy to take photos and to sign programmes and that sort of thing. I think kind of what Melanie's talking about here is like 0.1% of theatregoers. I think the vast majority of people who support this industry are really passionate and really sympathetic and caring towards the people they're watching on stage. But it's so sad this happened, so scary this has happened to Melanie. And I think it's amazing that she has spoken out about it, because it's triggered some articles, it's triggered other conversation, and hopefully it's a good chance for people who do like to stage door to maybe reassess their behaviour and have a little think about what they might do and how they might treat performers next time that they're there. So I'm sending lots of love to Melanie. So sorry that that happened to her. Interestingly, I've never been a stage doorer. I always feel awkward, even if I'm waiting at stage door to go and do a podcast or something. It's always a kind of a, I know, when everyone's looking like, who's this and who's that? I always feel kind of pressure when I'm stood at a stage door. The only time that I think I've ever stage doored was after Sheridan Smith's final performance in Legally Blonde, which was so buzzy, so incredible. There was massive crowds and lots of people were trying to get things signed and have a photo. I got my moment, went to have the photo, and I think someone called me or the phone didn't work or something went wrong, and I never got the photo. And that was the end of my stage door career, sadly. In some other news, Lee Mead will take over from Clive Rowe as Eddie in Sister Act at the Dominion Theatre, starring opposite Alexandra Burke from the 10th of June for her kind of era and run as Dolores, which is super exciting. Steps musical Here and Now has extended its world premiere run at the Alexandra Theatre in Birmingham for an additional week through to the 30th of November. Rob Madge will return to Edinburgh this summer with My Sons Are Queer, But What Can You Do, which is going to sell out and be epic. And I'm so pleased that Edinburgh audiences get to see that show again. Elliot Broadfoot, Hannah Jane Fox, Jennifer Caldwell, Sorrel Marsh and more have joined the West End cast of Kathy and Stella Solve a Murder. Following its most recent run at the Barbican Centre, My Neighbour Totoro will transfer to the West End, opening at the Gillian Lynn Theatre from Saturday the 9th of March next year. Jamie Moscato, Christine Aliardo and Rebecca Kane will star in Carousel in concert. That's going to be epic. Those voices are going to be overwhelming to hear together with that score. And that's taking place at the Royal Festival Hall on the 13th of July. And then finally, last week, Reese Carriage and I were talking about dream casting for 2022's Return to the West End. Sadly, it won't be Cheryl Ferguson, but Stacey Dooley will make her West End debut in the show as Jenny, which is super exciting. I'm so pleased that she's doing theatre. And she will star opposite James Buckley, who reprises his performance as Ben. Okay, let me tell you what shows I've seen this week. I think the kind of big highlight, the most exciting moment, was taking my seat at the Phoenix Theatre to finally see Stranger Things, The First Shadow. If you listen to our other podcast, In the Frame, I did an interview with Ella Karuna Williams, who's in Stranger Things, playing the brand new character, Patty Newbie. And in that episode, I confessed to Ella that I had never seen an episode of Stranger Things, a TV show, and I obviously hadn't seen the show on stage at that point either. So I was sat there clueless. I went into the Phoenix Theatre where this show opened last year. It just won an Olivier Award for Best Entertainment or Comedy. It also won the What's on Stage Award for Best New Play and another Olivier for Best Set Design. And I honestly had no idea what on earth was about to happen. And the reason why I got a ticket for Saturday night's performance was the week before I'd entered the Today Ticks lottery. And if I'm honest, I'd almost forgotten that I'd done it. It's really clever. You go in to enter the lottery, select which performances that week, the following week, that you want to be entered for. And forgotten I did it, then got an email saying, congratulations, you've won for Saturday night. Great. And it didn't tell you what seat you had. So I collected my ticket 20 minutes before. And I think actually it said maybe row B, me not knowing that that was the front row. So arrive at the in the auditorium, realise I'm on the front row, which I'm always quite pleased about because the front row at the Phoenix, well, because I assume the row in front had been taken out, you had plenty of leg room. It was quite a high stage. And they might have extended the stage for technical reasons, I'm guessing. So I sat there with no idea what to expect. Within the first 10 minutes. Well, even less, 5 minutes, the kind of prologue, the kind of the stuff that happens before the action even properly begins. I had never experienced anything like it. It was playing with every single one of my senses. I've spoken to people who sat in the circle and they couldn't really feel everything that I could feel in the front row. I mean, my hair was being blown back. I was literally physically being blown away. It was unlike anything I had experienced in my life. Incredible. So the show is a prequel to Stranger Things, the TV show. So I believe if you're a fan of the TV show, you're going to get to meet some of the characters earlier on in their lives. And I think there's lots of lovely nuggets and references and terminology and things that you'll be familiar with. For me, I was interested to know whether I was going to understand this show without the context of the TV show. It's really important that it's able to stand alone as a piece of theatre in its own right. In terms of style and identity, I think it definitely stands alone as a piece of theatre. It feels like this show has its own theatrical style and it works. And it's different to other plays that I've and anything that I've seen on stage. And also from a storyline and narrative point of view, I followed it. I was almost expecting not to understand what was going on. And I was really proud of myself because I think I understood it. I knew the story. I knew what was going on, which is always a good thing when you're sat in a theatre, right? So Jack Thorne, I believe, was heavily involved in writing this original story alongside the kind of team, the original team of writers and creators from the TV show. And then you have Stephen Daldry at the helm as director, alongside Justin Martin as co-director. And it's set in a school and we kind of meet this group of young people who are secretly putting on this show, this school production. And one of those people is Henry Creel. And it becomes apparent that Henry is different and has things going on, which makes his family life complicated, his relationships complicated, his friendships complicated, his general being at school situation complicated, and we see how he navigates that and what happens to him and what journey he goes on throughout the way. That's kind of me painting a very loose picture without giving spoilers. I almost want you to go and see this show not knowing it like I did, because I think that was a cool way to experience the show. And I thought Act 1 especially was really tight, was really put together. Second act for me almost not had flaws, but wasn't as slick as it could have been in terms of narrative and holding my attention. However, I was so invested and also so attached to the characters by that point that I was really involved, really into it, really cared, and truly, I really enjoyed myself. And it's an example of everything coming together. The best thing to happen in theatre, all the technical elements. I mean, the design is out of this world. Miriam Breather has just done something so, so exquisite. Along with John Clark's lighting, along with the sound. I mean, everything really, really excels. And also this cast are incredible. And I actually saw a few covers. So, for example, Ella was off. And her cover, Kemi, was exquisite. Lewis McCartney, who's making his West End debut as Henry Creel, gives the performance of a lifetime. There was truly so many incredible performances in there. And I also loved how the ensemble were utilised, both with kind of movement and ensemble bits, but also their own kind of featured moments, which they all did with such flair and personality and versatility, and really got to showcase their talents in a brilliant way. I think kind of overall, what I was left thinking is that there's really space in the West End for more commercial plays of this nature. I like that we have something using a big commercial name like Stranger Things, and it's not just an excuse to get people into the theatre for a kind of a cheap cliche experience. I like that this is getting people into the theatre who probably have never been to the theatre before and never thought they'd go to the theatre, and they're able to explore characters and a world that they love and they're passionate about through watching a TV show. They would explore it and see it presented in a completely different way, which I think is really cool and really special. The excitement in that auditorium, the excitement around me was epic. There was this, these two American guys behind me who were like, oh my God, constantly, the whole show. There's a real buzz, a real energy, a real shared amazement for what was going on. And I think it's surprising that we don't get to see more commercial plays like this come into the West End. I think Stranger Things is showing us how it can be done. Because I think plays can be stereotyped in British theatre and often go to kind of small to medium-sized houses and draw in pretty similar audiences, whereas this has gone to a bigger house. It's not, you know, the biggest theatre in the West End, but the Phoenix is of a size where it is usually hosting musicals, and bringing different audiences in, blowing them away, and doing it on a big scale, hugely successfully. So I'm sold, and I'm really pleased that I saw it, and I actually probably would go again to see it again and try and take it in a little bit more. So Stranger Things, The First Shadow, is booking at the Phoenix Theatre through to the 15th of December. Oh, disclaimer, be aware that if you sit on the front row, you are at risk of being covered in stuff, in something. Only if you're in kind of two seats up the whole row, one of which I happen to be in. And if you listened last week, I was talking about my Stanley, my big Stanley Cup. Well, let me tell you, my Stanley Cup was full of gunk stuff that was thrown on me during the first act, which wasn't ideal, but all part of the experience. It was good fun, and I really enjoyed myself.
Join pilot and adventurer Fernando Pino as he takes you on journeys to discover exciting destinations across the UK and Europe. You'll fly with him to hidden gems and experience local culture, from bustling streets to serene hideaways and the best places to eat, sleep, and play. Travel Plans is more than a podcast. It's your ticket to exploring the world and its history with a friend. In this episode, we are flying to discover a beachside paradise perfect for the whole family. Discover golden sands, activities galore, and even free childcare so you get your own break too. Why am I still here?
Next up, I went to see two strangers carry a cake across New York by Jim Barn and Kit Buchan, which has transferred to the Criterion Theatre following its run at the Kiln over Christmas. Now, I love Two Strangers at the Kiln. I ended up going to see it a second time during its run there. Was so happy when it announced that it was transferring. Part of me thought, when I saw it, this has future life. This really could do some special things. But I didn't know if it would, if producers would take the risk and they would do it. I'm so happy that they have, because it's thriving and living and breathing in the West End in a really wonderful way. It feels like it's the perfect next step for this show. I think there's so much more for Two Strangers to come. But it sits really beautifully in the West End. And I think that Dijonna Gift and Sam Tutty have been able to find new things, further explore their relationship together. Because this is a two-hander. Sam plays Dougal, who's gone to New York for his father's wedding. Very early on, it kind of transpires that there's more going on here. And Dijonna Gift's character, Robin, plays his step-aunt-to-be. And they'd never met. She meets him from the airport and they embark on a kind of journey, both physically and also figuratively. They're two very different people who strike up a very unique and special relationship, which paves way for some brilliant scenes, some brilliant moments of theatre. The first act is stronger than the second. The first act felt so focused and so slick and was so on point, and I really enjoyed every song. Second act almost kind of dwindles a bit, but then it comes back, I think. It brings it back. And that final song, that that final moment, If I Believed, is such a bop, such a good song, and staged so beautifully with the kind of design, which is all designed around suitcases, and there's a revolve, which is always a winner. And it was just brilliant. Dijonna gives such a magnificent performance, such a hard character to play. Robin's kind of cold at first and mysterious, you don't really know what's going on. And goes on the journey, and it'd be easy for that journey to not work and not to feel cohesive, but she does it in such a way where you feel like you're let into her world and you really get to understand Robin, and the journey and the transition, the metamorphosis that we see unleashed just feels really natural. Sam Tutty finds the comedy consistently, and he really makes Dougal feel like your friend. Everyone knows a Dougal. He does it really, really well, especially when he's doing a big number like New York, which is one that you've probably heard, the first song in the show. He doesn't sacrifice vocals for comedy. Like, he gets every moment, he gets every laugh, he makes every moment, every lyric makes sense. And the two of them together do something quite electric, which is really special and really wonderful to see. So to summarise, I'm so pleased that Two Strangers in the West End, and make sure you go and see it. It has just extended its run, which is brilliant news, through to the 31st of August. So go and check it out. Finally, I popped in to the Apollo Victoria Theatre to see Wicked, which was celebrating becoming the 10th longest running West End show in history. That's not musical, out of every show in the West End ever, which is truly, truly epic. If you're thinking, ooh, what else is in the top 10 list? Let me tell you. Number one is The Mousetrap. Number two is Les Mis. Number three is The Phantom of the Opera. Four is Women in Black, which of course only recently ended its run. Five is the revival of Blood Brothers. Six is Mamma Mia. Seven is Cats. Then The Lion King, Starlight Express, and now Wicked in at number 10. Overtaking No Sex Please, We're British, which closed in 1987, having opened in 1971, running for 6,761 performances. How's that for some facts? And it's, of course, still this big moment for Wicked, because we're seeing three actors of colour leave the show for the first time, three black performers. So Alexia Kadeem continues her triumphant run as Elphaba, reprising her performance from 14 years ago in her second year of this run and still going so strong. It was interesting. I was in the circle. I hadn't seen the show in the circle for years, and it was such a different perspective. But watching Alexia, I could still see the whites of her eyes when she was glaring out over everyone. And Lucy St. Louis is just incredible, and she's grown so much and finds so much different comedy, but then just has this wonderful grace in Act Two. Ryan Reid is so slick as Fierro. Sophie Louis-Dan is having the time of her life as Madame Morrible. And it was exciting. I was sat behind a school group which came in quite last minute. And, you know, you do kind of hear about audiences being badly behaved sometimes in certain shows and long-running shows which attract commercial audiences. And I thought, oh gosh, what's this going to be like? And it was such a privilege to be sat behind them, because they were so engaged and so engrossed and were loving it. And I was almost enjoying it through their eyes. It reminded me of falling in love with Wicked and the experience that I had seeing it really early on when I was a teenager. And it was a big part of me falling in love with theatre. And it's still doing that for the next generation of theatre lovers and goers and performers and creatives and all sorts of people. But it was a really slick show. It still stands so strong. And I really enjoyed it. I just sat there going, gosh, I love Wicked. Not that I needed to be reminded. But it feels like it's a good time to see the show now, especially with Alexia belting her face off and just doing the most exquisite acting imaginable and hitting every single note perfectly with grand technique, whether it's a top F or the lowest note of I'm Not That Girl. Really something special. So go and celebrate Wicked becoming the 10th longest running show in the West End history by booking a ticket to see it at the Apollo Victoria Theatre. And there we go. That is kind of my mini stagey roundup of what's going on for the week. thank you for joining me and keeping me company. Make sure you subscribe, you can follow, you can rate, you can review the podcast wherever you're listening. And wherever you are listening, that's exactly the same place where you can check out our interviews podcast, In the Frame. And this week's guest is Charlene Hector, who is back for round two. Last time we spoke, she was the alternate Effie in Dreamgirls. I think that was her second show after Hairspray. She's done so much more now. She did Strange Loop. She's now doing Standing at the Sky's Edge. And we recorded the podcast backstage at the Gillian Lynn. And oh, it was really special. We had a really lovely chat. The good vibes are flowing. And I absolutely loved that we got to do it. So subscribe to In the Frame and check that out this week. And you can follow West End Frame on Instagram and TikTok, and I'll be back next week for another Stagey catch-up.